Yeah, Rob, if you could make me so I'm not a Smurf, that would be good. Because really, you do turn into a Smurf up here. Well, today is Mother's Day. And I have a new proof that evolution is fiction and not fact. Because if evolution was true, mothers would be born with more than two hands. If evolution was true. This morning we are celebrating Mother's Day. Many times when we get to Mother's Day, we celebrate Mother's Day and they're warm and fuzzy messages. And when we get to Father's Day, the pastor ends up beating up each man in the congregation. Why? I don't know. But Mother's Day is always a celebration. And I believe that there are a lot of godly mothers in this facility today, and there are a lot of godly mothers that we can actually focus on in God's Word. One of those godly mothers in God's Word is Hannah. And Hannah is not very often read about in 1 Samuel. Hannah was an individual that truly loved God. She was married to a man by the name of Elkanah. And he was a godly man, and they would go up every year to the temple, and they'd make sacrifice, and they would make new vows, and they would do a lot of religious things that the Jewish people would do. And Elkanah had two wives, Peninnah and Hannah. And Peninnah, she had a couple sons and several daughters, and Hannah had struggled because she was without child and she was barren, and God had actually made her that way. God made her that way so that He might be able to do a God-sized thing in her life. See, I pray that we might, in my generation, be able to witness God doing a God-sized thing. See, God-sized things are beyond human things. God-sized things are always so far beyond us that it's hard for us to comprehend. And when we see God doing a God-sized thing, we stand back in awe of who He is. And that's what's going to happen in our story today as we look at the life of Hannah. God is doing a God-sized thing in Hannah's life because He made her a special way. God made me a special way, and God made you a special way. God made us all unique and different. And God made us so unique and different so that He can do God-sized things in our lives that we might fully be in awe of who He is. And this example today, this story that we see of Hannah, we see this story coming true in her life so that we know that God can do the same thing in our lives. See, there's an amen right there. That's my granddaughter. We prime her with that little squeal throughout the week, so she knows when I point to her that she's supposed to squeal. I'd like to have you turn with me this morning to 1 Samuel chapter 1. And we will begin reading in verse 2. Please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word. My glasses. Now I have to hold it clear up here. It says, "And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you that we can celebrate Mother's Day and that you give us tremendous mothers to help us along our life's journey. And Father, not just when we're young, but even when we are adult. And Father God, I thank you for my mother, how she wept for me and how she would pray for me and how she would work with me to make me and to help make me the man that I am today. And Father God, I thank you for her. I thank you for the mother of my children, that she would love them and nurture them even as my mother loved and nurtured me. And Father God, I thank you for each mother that is here. And we pray that it might be a celebration of motherhood today. And Father, that as we look to your word, it might encourage us on how you can do God-sized things in each and every one of our lives. And we thank you and praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The first thing that I believe that God wants us to see through this is the desire of Hannah. She had a desire, I believe, that every mother has. We need to see what she was going through. It's amazing. As I go places with Kathy, doesn't matter if we're going out to eat or if we're going to the mall or wherever we happen to be going. We can be at the gas station and she can see a little baby, and the first thing she does is she lights up like she never lights up for me. Oh, she looks at that little baby and smiles at the baby and at the mother. And see, that's the motherly instinct. Oh, she just, her heart just swells when she sees a little baby. I wish her heart would swell like that when I come home at night and things of that nature. But no, I'm no longer a little baby, although sometimes I act like it. Hannah felt like she had been left out. The Lord had shut up her womb, and every time they went to Shiloh for the yearly sacrifice and to worship, Peninnah, because she had several sons and daughters, she would rub it in the nose of Hannah that Hannah was worthless. Hannah was substandard. Hannah was not a real woman because, well, evidently, there's something in your life that God has not blessed you and refuses to bless you, or else you'd have children like I have. And Peninnah held that in front of her every single year. And as Elkanah would go and worship and then give portions to his wives, he'd give Peninnah portions and to her sons and daughters. But unto Hannah, he would give a worthy portion. That word worthy means it was beyond the normal. It was something that was beyond what he had given to Peninnah. And he was trying to comfort her because, after all, she felt substandard. She felt less of a woman. She felt like she had been left behind. She had pain. And that's why we need to see her desire. We need to see the pain that she was going through. Look with me, please. in God's Word, beginning in verse 5. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb, and her adversary also provoked her sorely, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why are you weeping and why are you not eating? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to you than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon the seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sorely. She wanted to be as much woman as every other woman. She wanted to be able to have children and to be that mother to those children and to give her husband a man-child. She wanted to be fulfilled, but she felt empty. She felt worthless. She felt substandard. And we sometimes feel that way. We feel that way when circumstances of life seem to war against us, when circumstances of life seem to treat us unfairly. My kids, when they were little, would come to me sometimes and they'd say, "That's not fair." Have you ever heard that? Yeah. And I'd say, well, congratulations. You have just now learned that the world is not fair. And it's not. Sometimes we feel like we're left out when the circumstances of life had come against us and we look around at all the people around us that are faring so well. And we go to church and everybody has on their happy face. And we don't feel quite so happy. Hannah was in a great deal of pain. And she felt this pain on a daily basis. But it really was magnified when they would make the yearly trip to Shiloh. And there they, Elkanah would sacrifice and they'd worship, and Hannah was feeling left out. The Lord had caused this in her life. And she, I believe, had actually asked the question. It doesn't say so, but I believe the question was asked, "Why me, Lord? Why is this happening to me?" And we feel like that sometimes. As we've been going through the book of James, James was writing, "Count it all joy when you fall into different kinds of problems." Because it's those problems that mature us. It's those problems that make our faith strong. Was this problem meant to make her faith strong? Or was this problem given to her because she had a strong faith? I believe she had a strong faith. But I believe also that the faith was also strengthened because God was getting ready to do a God-sized thing. So that everyone would stand back in awe of who he is. Not in awe of who she is. Notice also not only her pain, but notice her prayer. Look at verse 10 with me, please. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sorely. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look upon the affliction of your handmaid and remember me, and not forget your handmaid, but will give unto your handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought that she had been drinking. She had a genuine prayer. She had a dedicated prayer. She had a heartfelt prayer. She had gotten to the point in her life that she knew there was nothing that she could possibly do in order to solve her problem. And see, that's where God wants us to get. So that we know that there's absolutely nothing that we can do to solve the problem. And that He is the only one that can solve that problem. When we look at His Word, the Bible says, I think it was in verse 9, I don't have it on the text, but when you look back on verse 9, you might be able to go back, Mackenzie, to verse 9. Blump, 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 blump. Hit the back. There we go. Notice this. So Hannah rose up. That word rose up is very unique. Because it comes from the Hebrew word kum. It means to endure. It means to make good. It means to rise to the occasion. It means to have faith. She rose up. She dedicated herself. She had a desire within her. And that's why when she made this promise, she would say, God, I promise you that I will return him back to you. Look not only at her prayer, but look at her promise in verse 11. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your handmaid, and remember me and not forget your handmaid, but will give unto your handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Now some people would say, well, that's a foxhole conversion. A foxhole conversion is a conversion that is made during a time of trouble. In other words, the individual that's in the foxhole had no relationship with Almighty God, but now he finds himself in a foxhole and there's bullets flying and he's fearing for his life and he makes this prayer and says, God, if you'll save me, if you'll just save me, don't let me die. I'll give my heart and my life to you. I'll serve you all the days of my life. And God does His part, and then as soon as the guy's out of the foxhole, guess what? He goes back to his old life. That's a foxhole conversion. It's meaningless. This is not a foxhole conversion. This is not even making a deal with God. Because see, God wanted to do this in her life in the first place. God wanted to do a God-sized thing in her life so that she would be in awe of who He is and everyone around her would be in awe of who He is. And she says, if you'll not forget me, if you will fulfill this prayer of mine, I promise that I'll give him back to you and that he will serve you all the days of his life, that no razor will come upon his head. In other words, he's a Nazarite. She was dedicating him to the Lord. But not only must we see her pain and her prayer and her promise, we need to see her pleasure. Look with me in verse 13. Now Hannah, she spoke in her heart, only her lips moved. But her voice was not heard, therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long will you be drunken? Put away your wine. And Hannah answered and said, no, Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken this time. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that you have asked of him. And she said, let your handmaid find grace in your sight. So the woman went her way and did not eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Notice verse 19 says, and they rose up. In the English, it looks the same as verse 9, and she rose up. But in the Hebrew, it's a totally different word. In the Hebrew, it's, I gotta read it, shakom, which means to shoulder the burden. It means to accept the responsibility. When they rose up, they were saying, this is who I am. We are going to be confident in what God is going to do. She has prayed, she has promised, and now we're going to worship, and we're confident that God's going to do a God-sized thing. That was her pleasure. Notice that her countenance had changed. It's because she knew that God had heard her prayer. She knew that God was going to answer her prayer. She knew that God wanted what was best in her life. She knew that God was going to remember her. And the Bible says after they rose up, that they went back to their hometown, and there Elkanah and Hannah knew each other. And the Lord remembered her. That womb that was barren is no longer barren. That womb that was dead is no longer dead. It is alive. And now she's with child. Because the Lord remembered that prayer and that promise and the pleasure she took. How many times when we pray, do we truly trust God to do what we're praying for Him to do? Or are we just saying those words out of habit, out of repetition? See, she knew that God heard her prayer. She knew that God was going to answer her prayer. Before the boys, our boys, had their own car, they would come to Dad and say, Dad, can I borrow the car? Now, never did they come to me and say, Dad, can I borrow the car? Do you have the car keys? Never did they ever come to me and ask me that question and then just turn right around and walk away. No. See, they knew that I heard them and they knew that I was going to answer them. They would wait for that answer. They wanted those car keys so that they could go and do what they wanted to do with Dad's car. They would wait for the answer. And see, that's what Hannah had done. She knew that God heard her and that God was going to answer her prayer. See, it'd be stupid to ask your father for the car keys and about the time he reaches his hand in his pocket, you turn around and walk away. But that's what we do with God. We pray our prayer, say amen, and then go on with our day or lay our head down and go to sleep at night. Hannah had pleasure in knowing that God was going to do a God-sized thing. How many of you would love to have God do a God-sized thing in your life? Can I see your hand? All right. See, that should be revealed on our countenance if we truly believe that God's going to do a God-sized thing in our lives or in the life of our family. It would change our outward attitude. Hannah's countenance completely changed because it was her pleasure to see God do a God-sized thing. Secondly, not only must we see the desire of Hannah, we need to see the dedication of Hannah. She was dedicated to her boy. Look with me, please, in verse 20 of our main text. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seems to yourself to be good. Tarry until you have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suckling until she had weaned him. She was dedicated to her boy. She was dedicated to make sure that the time was right. We are so fortunate to have Nick drive down from Iowa to be with us, to have the whole family together today to worship. One of the things that I enjoy about Nick is he loves to play with my dog, Buster. Well, now, Dwayne likes to play with him too. And see, I don't play as hard as Nick and Dwayne play with him. No. Matter of fact, when Buster bites, that's enough for me. But when he bites them, it's like, oh, whoa, 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 and then they just keep on playing. Nick's got bites all over him. And it's kind of a bonding thing, I think. Because when you play like that with a dog, the dog is bonded with you. And Nick had been up, he had gone to work Wednesday night at 8 o'clock, and then after he got off Wednesday night, Thursday morning, he drives down, and then he goes to the Cardinals game Thursday afternoon, and then he comes and spends Thursday night with us. And it's 8 o'clock the next night, he's been up over 24 hours, and he's starting to wear down just a tad, and he decides it's time to go to bed. And so he goes down the hall and goes to bed, and wouldn't you know, Buster goes right to his door and lays down. Because now Buster has a new play toy called Nick. And Buster's laying at the door waiting for him to come back out. And it's like he's not coming out till morning. Come on back here and lay down. So he'd come back and lay down. And a minute later, back up he'd be. Back over to the door again. He was dedicated, man. He liked that. My mama was dedicated. I did so many stupid things when I was a kid. If divorce was legal between parents and children, they would have divorced me. But she'd get so close to me after I'd done something, she'd get so close in my face that I couldn't look at her in both eyes. I'd have to look at the right one, then the left one, then the right one, then the left one. And she'd scold me. And shake her finger at me. That's not what makes God happy. You're not making God happy, and you're not making your father and me happy either. Craig, you don't have to do those things to get attention. You can do anything you set your mind to. And she'd scold me. Now, when I had disappointed my father, I knew that was going to pass. I know he'd be mad for a little bit, and then it'd be over. But if you disappointed mom, it would go on forever. And you'd look at her 3 days later, and she's still looking at you the same way, and it's kind of like, oh. She loved me with all of her heart. And because of those times, I'm the man that I am today. Good, bad, or ugly. I'm the man I am today. Because of her. Hannah was dedicated to her son. She was dedicated to her son to where she wasn't just going to take him down and throw him over. No. She was dedicated to her son.